Welcome everybody to another edition of Philly Sports Passion Podcast. This is the Philly Sports Passion Cave. Philly Sports Cave. And today, my co-host is right now, nobody. Joe should be coming on in a few minutes. In the meantime, the biggest news in Philly sports today is that Jimmy Butler was signed a contract and then he was traded to the Miami Heat for Josh Richardson. Tobias Harris re-signed for 4 years, $180 million. Al Horford signed with the 76ers for 4 years, and I believe it's $109 million. And the Phillies have a big series against the Atlanta Braves starting tomorrow, where Aaron Nola will face Dallas Keuchel. Nick Fanato will face Bryce Wilson, the rookie, and then on Thursday in the finale in Blackwood. Zach Efron versus Mike Skolka. And I think this is Joe on the line right now. Is this Joe?
Oh, no. I was just checking out what y'all were talking about, man.
Who's this?
No, I'm just seeing the show, so I just checked it out. That's all.
Okay. What's your name? Or
Rob.
Okay. Where are you calling from? Or are you a Philly sports fan? Are you a Philly fan?
Yeah, I'm in Atlanta, but no, I did want to weigh in on it because I do like the team.
Okay. I have another caller, so we'll get him on the line too.
All right.
Is this Joe?
Yeah. What's
hey
up,
Joe.
Eric?
We have what's up? We have another guest on the line. Somebody called us, so he'll be joining us. So let's start with how are you today, Joe?
I'm doing well. Who do we got in here right now?
I think his name Ralph.
Rob.
Hey, Ralph.
Rob.
Oh, Rob.
Have y'all met anybody named Ralph in the last 30 years?
No.
So what are we starting with?
Let's start with the biggest news of the day. In the last 24, 48 hours, the Jimmy Butler signing trade to the Miami Heat. What are your guys' thoughts? Want to start out, Joe or Rob?
Oh, what's up?
Yeah.
Yeah,
sure. I'll weigh in on it. You know, obviously, Jimmy, with the report coming out today that he was offered the max, obviously, Jimmy wanted to be the main piece rather than a part of a winning team. So, I mean, it was his decision. He's going to go ahead and be that guy in Miami. Not sure how successful they'll be, but you know, you got to respect his decision. And the Sixers made their own moves, and I think that they I think they're going to be a little deeper than the team would have been had they brought back Butler and Harris.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Rob?
Yeah, I don't think they did a good enough job of selling Jimmy on staying, because I think Jimmy's best career trajectory was staying in Philly and being that guy to hit big shots and you know, the attitude that he brings. It's straight Philly. Like, the fans would have loved him. I think this was a huge mistake. I don't know if it's on his part more or the org's part, but they should have kept him there. They recovered in a good way in getting that guy from Miami. I can't think of his name, Jeremy something, the wing guy. But he's pretty good. I'm not too sure about the Horford move, man, because I think Horford makes them slower if you're playing Horford and Joel together. That's the one thing I didn't like. I like re-signing, you know, Harris. I like I said, bringing in the kid from Miami. If you have to get rid of Jimmy, then, yeah, get something back. But, man, I don't know about Al, man.
Yeah, I mean, at least he's not going to kill the Sixers anymore when he faces us. At least he's with us now. I mean, he's a veteran president, so he brings leadership. And Embiid always had trouble with him, so at least they're teammates now.
Well, he's a good dude. Like, he's going to bring all of that. Like, it ain't no question. Leadership, team guy, like, getting people accountable, keep creating the culture, all that stuff. Horford is that, no question. I'm just wondering, you know, just them playing together. Like I said, like, that's the only thing that I don't know, man. I'm not too sure about that. And then this sounds like the Doc Rivers stuff. When somebody plays well against you, that don't mean you got to go give them $100 million and sign them. You know, remember when Doc kept doing that? I don't know, man.
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying, and you make a good point there. Because he is, what, 33 years old? 33, I think. He is up there in age. Let's see. Hold on.
Yeah, I think if you look at either way, I mean, both guys are going to be on the decline towards the end of their contracts either way, whether you signed Butler or whether you signed Horford. I think you probably get 3 years out of Butler, 3 good years out of Butler. You probably get 2 out of Horford max. So that back end is going to hurt. But at the same time, it was 2 aging guys that were, you know, Horford probably already is on his downward trend, and Jimmy was going to hit that downward trend halfway through, so.
Yeah, what do you guys think about the Tobias Harris signing? I think we needed to do it. It was either Harris or Bus for me, because after the news of Butler meeting with Miami and possibly didn't want to play here, so we had to give him the money. It was either him or Bus, because we're just going to have Embiid and Simmons, and right now we can't compete with just those two, especially because Simmons didn't have a shot yet, and Embiid, you know, injury prone right now, can't stay healthy for all time. What do you think?
Well, I think I'm with you. You kind of had to sign Harris, but I think it's more of insurance more than anything. All of this is about if Ben is still slow to turn from fringe all-star to superstar, then you need these extra guys to make the team better. But if Ben takes that extra step, then these guys wouldn't be necessary. But you can't just plan the season that Ben is going to become, you know, what he's supposed to become real early. So, you know, they're protecting themselves and making sure that they'll still be okay. So I think those are the right moves. But, man, if Ben does make that leap with everything else they have, this is a, you know,
exactly,
a title-contending team.
Oh, yeah. And I love the Josh Richardson coming back here. He's only 24 years old. He can play defense. He plays both. He plays 2 ways. So, I think that's a good addition.
Yeah, I mean,
you have any thoughts on
getting back? Yeah, getting back to Ben. I mean, this whole team pretty much is built on whether or not he decides to go develop his shot or not. I mean, these moves are all well and good, but if Ben doesn't develop that shot, it's hard for this team to get past the hump.
I agree with that. And I like Simmons, but he needs to develop a shot. Everybody knows that. Everybody in the NBA knows that. Even the average fan knows that. Even he knows that. And I don't know if it's just he's young and lazy or that he thinks he's just, I don't know.
I don't think it's lazy. I think it's stubborn. I mean, he's made it as an all-star
yeah.
without a jump shot. He's going to get a max extension without a jump shot. You know, he's doing all these things without a jump shot. So, I mean, I can see why in his mind he would not waste his time as he would probably see it on a jump shot. But time will tell.
Exactly.
I do think he works, man. I just think he's just a bad shooter. He doesn't have any touch. So that's something he just, you know, going to have to continue to work on. And it'll be a process. But, hey, man, I remember the Antoine Walker days. Remember the Josh Smith days. There are other bad shooters who would just hoist them up. The one thing I respect about Ben is he said, I can't shoot yet, so I'm not going to do it. So I do kind of respect that part about him because there have been some dudes over the years, man. You're just like, okay, why are you shooting three?
Exactly. I mean, I remember Antoine Walker killed us in the playoffs back in the day. That was like, ooh, him and Paul Pierce. That was a lethal duo right there, but they just didn't get over the hump. They never could. What else? You have any thoughts on Josh Richardson, guys?
Yeah, I think he's good. I like him. Nice, you know, nice wing player. He'll get the minutes that you – last year they had to give to McGinnis and some of those other guys. He's a good defender, nice shooter. Not a great shooter, but a decent enough shooter. But you didn't need a guy who wanted to come in and have the ball in his hands. You needed complimentary guys who could play major minutes. And he's that, so – you know, it's a good move.
Exactly. I was looking at the size chart. We have everybody is over 6'6". Our starting lineup's going to be, what, and be like 7'2". Al Horford, 6'10". Richardson, 6'6". Tobias, 6'10", I believe. And Ben Simmons, 6'10". That's a big team. But we shall see what happens. What else? Is there any you have any questions for us, Rob?
Yeah, I guess I'll just ask this and get out of here. Do you think you guys kind of got over with the Carson Wentz deal out there in Philly? Because it looks like y'all got like an Andy Dalton prove-it-every-2-years deal instead of him getting that huge contract that everybody kind of expected.
I think it was tough because Carson hadn't played a full season yet besides his first season. I think he played 15 games. And I think they needed to do it. I think they could have waited a little bit, but I understand why they gave it to him now. What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, you can't give Carson the security contract that a lot of these other guys get just because, I mean, to me, he still really hasn't proven that he's a franchise quarterback. I mean, I know that's sort of goes against the grain with what people here think, but he had a good stretch for a season. He had a solid year last year, but nothing where you're super excited about it. If you know, but given his injury history, and he does turn the ball over a lot, which is a little underrated. It goes a little under the radar, I mean, you know, as far as turnovers and fumbles combined. So it's hard to say because he hasn't proven it yet, and he hasn't really had an opportunity to prove it, but they sort of go hand in hand because his opportunity to prove it has been because he's been injured. So this year is going to be huge for him. The team's built around him to succeed and do big things. And if he can't stay healthy or he doesn't make a solid leap forward, you know, having the options built in and things like that where he can be reworked or cut, or not that he would get cut, but it's, I think it's necessary for him.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think this year is it's a proven year. I think he it's just a matter of just staying healthy. And that's a cliche around here, I know, because we have had a lot of athletes over the years with injuries, indeed. So it's a concern. I think it's a concern. I don't know if that's an unpopular opinion right now, because I think a lot of people have a lot of faith in Carson staying healthy. I can be optimistic, but there's a little bit to be concerned about, obviously.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to hear what, you know, Philly fans thought about that, man, because that was kind of interesting to me. But, yeah, y'all have a good show, man. And, yeah, we'll see what they do next year, man. But, yeah, I hope the Sixers finally get one and, you know, hold that trophy up. So, y'all have a good night, man.
Thanks for calling. Yeah, thanks for calling. Call again.
All right, we'll do.
Yep.
Thanks,
Rob.
Have a good one.
You want to talk some Flyers, Joe? If there's any, is there any big news or not really?
No, today was the first official day of free agency. Flyers didn't have a lot of room to do anything with, so nothing big like we expected. I don't think anybody had anything, you know, that they were expecting out of free agency today. A lot of signings for the Phantoms. The only way the Flyers were going to be able to do anything was to trade some guys, and it doesn't look like there's any plan to trade anybody here in the near future. So they just signed some depth guys, and we know what team we're pretty much going to roll into the season with. The only question is who's going to be that third line winger, and looks like it's going to be one of those top prospects, whoever has the best camp. So we'll see who wins it out.
Yep. We re-signed Brian Elliott to a 1-year deal, I believe.
1-year, $2 million deal. That's, to me, that's a good signing with Carter Hart.
Yes.
And, you know, the second year for NHL goaltenders is typically a drop-off year as they adjust to playing in the NHL and a full workload. And so it'll be nice for him to have an experienced veteran that's had success in this league, that's played quite a bit in this league. And for Elliott, too, it'll be good for him because he won't have to hopefully play 6-7 games in a row like he has been down the last few years. I think he's going to be a great guy to mentor Carter Hart and help him get through this year. You know, and this year depends on two major things: bounce back from Ivan Provorov, and to see what Carter Hart does, whether he takes that step forward or if he decides to, if he takes a step back and has the typical sophomore slump, which wouldn't surprise me and wouldn't raise a red flag for me. It would just be the natural progression of things, but we'll see what he does.
Exactly. He's a young goaltender. He's only, what, 22, 21?
Okay. He's not even 21 yet, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, last year would have been his first year in the Phantoms, and his first full year in the Phantoms, and he got called up. So, he's not even 21 yet. So there's plenty of time for him. He's going to have growing pains. He's going to have lumps and bumps, and he's going to take bad ones. He's going to rebound from bad ones. He's going to have great games, just like he did this year. The thing will be to be patient, to let him play through his bumps when he can, sit him when he can't, and just be patient with him and hope that defense in front of him plays the way that it's scheduled to.
Exactly. What do you think of the new coach? I never got the chance to ask you about that.
The new coach and the new staff, I think, in whole is going to be good for this team. I mean, the things you look at is there's a lot of experience on that staff. There's guys that have been head coaches. There's guys that have had success in this league. And we're going to see a transitional period here where over the next 3 or so years, it's going to be a lot of youth that comes up with this team. I mean, of course, you're going to have Giroux and Voracek and JVR to lead the pack, but those depth players, those second, third line players, they're going to be the young guys, the Travis Konechny's, the Morgan Frost's, Isaac Radcliffe. Those are the guys that are going to be coming up the next few years, and the best thing for them is going to be one, to have a coaching staff that knows how to handle young players, and two, a locker room that can support young players growing up in that locker room and becoming NHL players. And I think the Flyers right now are building towards that. You saw those two defensive signings that they made, just defensive trades they made for Niskanen and Braun, strong veteran guys that have been in the league. They're not going to knock your socks off with stats or their gameplay, but they're solid veterans that are going to be a nice rock for the young guys to lean on. I think what you'll see here is Niskanen and Provorov play together, which should level Provorov out and help him bounce back to that rookie year form that he had. And then you look at Sanheim, probably going to play with Braun, who can give him some toughness and help him elevate his game. You know, one of the things Sanheim was missing was probably a little snarl and a little strength. Braun will definitely add that for him, so they'll complement each other well. And then you got a mixed bag on that third line, that third pairing. You get Morin and Haig, Myers, Ghost, all those guys competing for that last pairing, and looks like one of them is going to have to be traded at some point during training camp at the very latest, because you just don't want to have 8 defensemen with 2 of them not being able to play on a regular basis. It's just a waste of a roster spot. So I think once camp rolls around, you see one of those guys dealt for something. But right now the defense is looking pretty good. So this is a playoff team.
Yeah, I think so. Who would that big signing be, guys? I mean, not big signing, but a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, Kevin Hayes. He's going to be their second line center. He's going to be their second line center, barring a huge leap from Nolan Patrick. I think probably Nolan Patrick will center the third line for the majority of the year. Kevin Hayes is a good two-way player. He's coming off a hot year offensively, but he's not really known for his goal scoring or anything like that. But he'll be able to contribute a good 55 points, possibly more. His very minimum, his floor, you're looking at probably, hopefully, 50 points with who he's going to be playing with, upwards of maybe 65 points as a ceiling. Anything over that, you'll probably take as a bonus. He's a big body, 6'5". He can play penalty kill minutes, which is something that will help Couturier out and help that penalty kill, which has been one of the worst parts of the Flyers game over the last, 4 or 5 years. So he's going to add a lot. He's 27. This contract by no means is bad. It's probably a little more than you would have liked to pay for him, but it's not one that's likely to handcuff you maybe the last 2 years of the deal. He'll hit a decline there that'll make you regret the contract, but he should be able to play for the majority of the contract at a high level, which would be really what you're asking for.
And he's still very young. Not very young, but he's still pretty young.
27, yeah, 27's young. He fits in with this group. He's, you know, Couturier's right around that age. So yeah, you're not looking at an old veteran like the old Flyers regime would have done. You're looking at a guy that is hopefully entering his prime. It's going to be tough to tell whether last year was just a contract year or whether he is truly taking that step into his prime. But he's going to be a huge piece. And if everybody plays up to the level they should be, you know, if Patrick keeps progressing forward, that's three solid lines you're going to have there. And that's something the Flyers haven't had since their cup run back in 2010. So I'm not saying that this team is a cup contending team, but this is probably the best team they've had since that team.
Oh, wow. Okay. Is there any surprise free agents that you saw today in NHL? You know, it's the first day of free agency.
Not really. I mean, I think a lot of the main guys sort of went where they expected them to. You know, Duchesne going to Nashville for $8 million a year, that's going to be huge for them. I think Nashville's one of the favorites this year, not only because of Duchesne signing, but, you know, they've been a top team last year. I think they got bounced a little early for whatever reason, but, you know, you add Duchesne to that team, and you just look and, man, they're going to be tough to beat. Panarin going to the Rangers, a little bit of a surprise there, just because everybody had him pegged in Florida with Bobrovsky. You know, the Rangers are an up-and-coming team. Just not sure if all their parts are going to click in order for them to make a run here. Lundqvist is on the end of his career here, and they're adding a lot of talent up front, but, you know, the goalie in the playoffs is the most important part, so it's going to be interesting to see here if they can make a run within the next year or two. The talent up front is going to be able to keep them in a lot of games and make them a competitive team. You know, they got Kiko, so he's going to be a huge addition. But again, it's all going to come down to whether or not Henrik can play up to the level he's been playing to. Got to mention Wayne Simmonds going to the Devils, 1 year, $5 million. Probably my favorite Flyer since Mike Richards. Maybe one of my favorite Flyers to ever wear the orange and black. It's going to be pretty crap seeing him play for the Devils. I mean, 1 year, $5 million for him. Man, that's more than I thought he was going to get, considering he had two goals in his last 30-something games for Nashville. He looked like he was a shell of himself. But, hey, go get your money, Wayne. Hopefully one day he can retire here. But, yeah, it's going to be tough to see him, and we get to see him in the home opener. So we get to see him quick.
Oh, wow. And the Devils are up and coming themselves. They had the number one pick then this year. And they have the number one pick last year.
The Devils, they had the number one pick last year with Hershire. They got Hughes this year. They're going to have a bunch of talent up front. They got Taylor Hall already, who they stole. He was a 4 overall pick, league MVP candidate. So they got a lot of talent up front. Their questions are going to be if they can stop people defensively. They don't have a lot of talent in the defensive end. Corey Schneider is a solid goaltender. Didn't have a great year last year. We'll see what he really is made of this year. And like with the Rangers, the key will be him because, you know, the Devils have a lot of talent up front. They just don't have necessarily the goaltending to back him up. But Schneider's young. He's a solid goaltender. He's had solid years here, so it'll be interesting to see what he gives the Devils. But, you know, this Metro is going to be tough. You know, you got the Islanders walking through. They swept Pittsburgh last year. You got Pittsburgh who traded Kessel, but they're still going to be one of the top teams. You know, obviously Washington. Yeah, Sid and Malkin. Washington's going to be a competitor, and you know, Carolina obviously going to be a competitor. Columbus has fallen off. I think Columbus is a shell of themselves. I think they're going to finish last in the division. They lost their number one goal scorer, their number two center, number one goalie, and their goalie was really what that team was built out from. So Columbus is going to fall off, so that's opening a playoff spot for some of these teams to contend with. You know, it'll be interesting to see if the Islanders bounce back or if last year was just a fluke. Yeah, it's going to be a great division. It's going to be a fun season. You know, do the Flyers get lost in the shuffle? Who knows? But there's going to be a lot of teams competing for playoff spots here, and Flyers are built to be one of them, so
yeah,
it's going to be fun.
The future is bright.
Yeah, the future is bright. Now is getting brighter. It's a good time to be a Flyers fan, even though it doesn't feel like it right now.
Yeah, I hear you that. Let's move on to the Phillies. They have a huge series coming up tomorrow. Wait, I mean, now it's today. I mean, at 7 o'clock in Atlanta.
Tomorrow starts Atlanta. They were off today.
Yep.
The Phillies are an odd team to get a feel on, you know.
Yeah, I know.
They lose 7 in a row. Then they go sweep the Mets. Then they lose 2 out of 3 to the Marlins. They're just so hard to get a read on. I mean, obviously, their biggest concern is that that bullpen. I mean,
yep.
That bullpen's been giving us trouble. Shoot. Can't remember the last time outside of 08 that our bullpen was a strength. But, you just got to hope that these guys come back healthy and can add something to the bullpen. Because this is a lineup that once it gets hot is going to be able to carry this team. But everybody knows that the playoffs aren't about your lineup as much as they are about your pitching.
Exactly. Because on Saturday night they had a 6-1 lead. And the bullpen just
crapped the game. even Sunday, the game they won 13-6. I mean, Marlins still scored 6, and that's one of the worst lineups in the last 10 years.
I don't know what Miami, for some reason, they just have our number.
And they always have.
Yeah. Same thing with Washington.
I can't remember. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. And then I'm not sure I don't know about Gabe Kapler yet. I'm not ready to say he needs to be fired, but I look and I see, you know, simple mistakes that he shouldn't be making. But I also see that he does have a good baseball sense. So,
It might be a combination of maybe his pitching coaches or bench. I don't know. Maybe he's getting some bad advice. And, I don't know. I see the flaws too. And then, Saturday night, I don't know, should he let Efron in? This hindsight's 2020 there.
Yeah, hindsight always 2020. I mean, it's hard to trust those guys. It's hard to trust Nola, but it's especially hard to trust anybody after Nola to go deep into a game. And because the thing is with these guys is when the rails come off, they come off big. So it's and then you overwork the bullpen, and it's tough. Hopefully Klentak can do something here to address. I mean, both starting
bullpen.
And bullpen, but yeah.
Nola and Pivetta have been flipped. Nola's pitching tonight. I mean, the first game, that way he can pitch the last game before All-Star break. So he keeps his 5 days rest, which is smart. You need to start Nolan first, get that, hopefully win, and start the momentum.
Yeah, well, how crucial the series is. Yeah, you got to go with your big three. I mean, there's no other option there. And he's doing the right thing, putting these guys to start. And, you know, Nola's just got to have a good game. He's got to earn that ace role. Otherwise, I don't know. Maybe you're looking at – I don't know who you can trade for, but it was interesting to see Moniak pulled
yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, the guy I really want is Greinke. I would love to see them be able to pull Greinke off, but I think the bidding, I think the price tag for him is going to be too high. So I don't know if you'll be able to get Greinke, but man, he'd be a heck of an addition to this team.
Oh yeah, and the problem with Arizona is that they're about 43-43, so they're still in a wild card race themselves. Let's see.
Yeah, and that's been a problem since the, maybe not a problem, but a rough scenario ever since the second wild card was introduced. It makes a lot more teams feel like they're in the race, so you don't see as many sellers as you typically would at the trade deadline. So hopefully,
and
they drop
it's
going to
be hard this
games.
Year.
Exactly. No, you're good. No, you're right, because you look at Mike Minor playing for the Rangers. The Rangers still feel like they're in it. You know, obviously, the Diamondbacks, nobody thought they'd be close to in it. More teams think they're in it than not, which always makes it tough and always makes it interesting.
Exactly. And with only the one trade deadline this year, it's even tougher.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're going to have a lot of teams bidding for picking. The Yankees need a starter. The Red Sox need bullpen help. You got the Dodgers probably need bullpen. Atlanta. All their prospects. Chicago.
I mean, every year, the contending teams always seem to be looking for bullpen and starting pitching and pinch hitting. So
exactly.
We'll see if they can address those.
What else? Can the Phillies get back in the divisional race? I mean, they're 5.5 back now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Still early.
I mean, still early. This is still a good team, despite how they played over the last couple weeks here. They lost a huge piece. They lost Andrew McCutchen, who was arguably playing some of the best baseball on the team, outside of Segura, your two most consistent guys. When you lose your leadoff guy, who's been both hitting, getting on base and hitting for power, and playing decent out in left field, it's hard to just replace him. So, I think Kingery here should get some time batting leadoff. I think he can settle into that role, but they're going to have to do something with that outfield because you can't have Jay Bruce starting every day out and left. He's already shown that, you know, he's not able to hold up for a full.
He's already injured.
Exactly, and so he's already shown that he can't hold up for a full workload and left. And so you just got to get somebody to either platoon him or platoon Kingery or one of the two. But you got to do something with this outfield here and give Jay Bruce a break, because he's your big pinch hitting bat off the bench.
With Brad Miller.
What's that?
Him and Brad Miller.
Yeah, Brad Miller. I mean, Brad Miller can play that utility role on the infield and give you innings at a lot of positions, and so your bench is set. If you're the Phillies, I think you're happy with your bench. I think you gotta make another change to that outfield to get somebody else that can play there. I mean, it's not in the farm system. I think all those guys that might be called up are too young for a playoff team. I don't think you can depend on Roman Quinn. Obviously, he's made of glass.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
Yeah.
And as you said, you're a big proponent of Kevin Pinrod, Giants, right? I mean, Kevin Pillar. Right. Is it Pillar?
Yeah. Well, that's all. I would love Pillar just to be part of a trade with Mad Bum. I think that sort of addresses two needs. I think,
yeah,
you know, Pilar's not a great player, but is he a guy you can depend on to play effective in the outfield? Sure. And you're not looking for an all-star. You're looking for somebody that can come in and somebody that you can count on. I think he brings a good glove. I think he, you know, his hitting isn't where you need it, but he brings a good glove, and he's somebody that can be double switched for in the event that they do need to get a big bat in the lineup down by a couple runs or something like that. So, you know, if you have the opportunity to trade for Mad Bomb and they're willing to throw in Pilar, I think you'd do that. And then I think you hopefully can swap Franco out for some relief helper or something like that. You know, hopefully he gets hot right around the trade deadline and is able to be moved. I don't know if you're a believer in Franco, but I'm sure not.
I'm up and down with him. I mean, he had a good first month, and then he's tailed off, and then the last, what, week and a half, he's showed up again. I think it's just a matter of getting a bat, maybe.
That's exactly why I can't get on board with him. You know, I was looking at his numbers, and he played in just about every game in the month of May, and he still hit 170. So I don't think it's an at bat issue. I think he is what he is. He's a guy that's really hot or really cold, and it's been his story his whole career. When he's hitting, and he's keeping his eye on the ball and keeping his head through the ball, he's hitting well. When he starts to slump and pulls off the ball and starts swinging wild is when he goes in these slumps where he hits 170 for a whole month. And he's too inconsistent, and he doesn't make up for it with his glove. He's just a middle of the pack defender based on all the metrics you'll look at. He's not somebody that I'm, you know, married to.
He's obviously not in the future. He's the guy in double A right now. That's wrong. It's too early to call him up. He still needs some time.
Yeah, he still needs some time, and he's a guy I would, you know, for the right price, I would move him, but I would like to keep him in the farm system. But, you know, prospects are prospects. They're called lottery cards for a reason. So the right offer comes, you move him and see what you can get.
Yep. Want to answer some questions?
Sure. What do you got?
From Twitter. We got one from our buddy Kyle Lutz. Yes. What do you guys expect from Jimmy Butler in Miami next season?
Well, I expect Jimmy to put up good numbers. I expect Jimmy to, you know, probably he's going to dominate the ball out there just because there's nobody else to dominate the ball, and that's why he went to the Heat. The Heat promised him that he could be the guy that dominates the ball. They'll put the pieces around him. So I expect him to have a good year. Do I expect the Heat to make the playoffs? Not as anything more than an 8 or 7 seed, only because of how weak the East is. I think they're a top team? Absolutely not. Do I think they can be? Absolutely not. I just don't think that the Heat are going to be able to contend while Jimmy's there. I think they're too far away right now, and I don't think that the options are there for them to compete, especially when you look at the way the East has gotten better. I mean, the Nets are going to be one of the top teams here for a while. The Sixers, obviously, over the next at least 2 years, are going to be one of the top teams. Depending if Kawhi comes back to Toronto, they're obviously a top team. Milwaukee, obviously a top team. I think all these teams are better than the Heat can be over the next few years. So I think Jimmy has a solid personal year, but as far as the success of that team, they're a 500 team. Top.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. I mean, I heard maybe they get some free agents next year, but right now, this year, they'll barely get in. They'll be in a bunch of teams like Detroit or Washington, not even Washington, I don't know, Detroit, Orlando, teams like that for the last two seasons. Jimmy will probably average about. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, I mean, I think even Washington without Wall, I still think is better than them. Or at least even. I'm not very high on the Heat. And with good reason.
Yeah. They just traded one of their centers. I mean, their center, too. No, they don't even have any.
Yeah. Exactly. So,
I think he'll probably average around 27 points a game. Probably top 10 in scoring. But other than that,
he doesn't have
any help.
I don't even think he'll be that high. I think, I think he'll be probably somewhere in that 22, 24 range. I think he'll have a couple 30, 35 point games there, but that team's just not built to be successful. And when you have one guy that, you can pretty much lock onto, teams in the NBA these days, they just know how to lock guys down. And I don't think that'll be any different than with Jimmy.
Mm-hmm. Were there any surprises in NBA free agency that were you surprised at? I mean, still waiting on the Kawhi news.
Yeah, I think the Kawhi news is probably going to be the only surprising thing. If he goes anywhere but the Clippers or Toronto, I don't really expect him to go to the Lakers. I think that's a lot of smoke and mirrors. I think the Lakers are trying, but to me, Kawhi doesn't seem like the type of guy to take the easy way out.
Yeah.
And if he joins the Lakers, that'll just be taking the easy way. He seems like a guy that likes to challenge and likes to fight. Yeah. So, I would love to see him go to the Clippers and, maybe the Clippers take over and beat that super team in LA. As far as surprises go, not really a whole lot for me. Surprised at what some of these guys got paid. I mean, Rozier, gosh, who knows what Charlotte's doing down there by letting Kemba go to sign Rozier to that huge contract, but that's why they're Charlotte. the Pelicans are a good team to watch for.
Yeah, they're young and they have not have JJ.
They got a lot of youth. They got a lot of talent. They got, they're going to be a tough team. They're going to surprise some people.
I think they could get a sixth seed there in the West. I think they could be. I'm not going to say they're going to be Denver this year, but they could. Maybe in a few years they could be Denver.
They definitely could be. What do they have? A top five pick at what, three positions right now?
I think they.
If you look at,
I think
you look at Ingram, you look at Ball, Zion.
No,
Ball was fourth, right? Was Ball fourth? I think Ball was fourth.
Ball was second. Ball was second. Ingram was second. Zion was first. Whoever they drafted and traded, I forget who they got second player. They got, I think they traded it to Orlando or something. I forget, but
I think. I gotta look at their roster real quick.
Yeah.
Because they got a lot of young talent on this team.
Gordon. Yeah, I'm not huge on Zion, but he is a talented player. I'll give him that.
Yeah, well, I think he's probably just a more athletic. Oh wow, they got Okafor too. Another top.
Oh, that's right.
Top three pick.
Three player. Yep.
Yeah, forgot about him.
He's probably going to start now because they have.
Yeah, he'll be starting for them.
Didn't they just get a center or no? I forget.
I think he's going to be their starter, Okafor, at center. So, man, you're looking at, that's a heck of a lineup you're looking at for them.
I know. It's funny, the website still has Anthony Davis here.
Yeah.
Because that trade hasn't officially gone through, so technically he's still a Pelican.
Ugh.
Oh, they still have Drew Holiday. And they don't have it updated yet. Nothing is official.
Yeah, I think that's the fifth or the sixth. All this stuff can really be official, but yeah, they're going to be fun to watch. But yeah, I didn't really see a whole lot of surprises. I think everybody was sort of surprised by the Nets getting Durant and getting Kyrie.
Kyrie, yeah.
I think one of the biggest takeaways was just how inept the Knicks continue to be. They'll never be a good team. When you're the Knicks, you have to take a chance on a guy like Durant if you can, and the fact that they weren't willing to offer him the max just blows my mind.
Yeah, that owner's probably the worst owner in sports. Knicks can't get rid of him. I feel bad for Knicks fans. They have to suffer.
No, I don't.
No. I mean, Philadelphia fans, we've suffered through enough ownership here. So.
Yep, exactly. They can have it.
The early days of Jeffrey Lurie. Remember when?
Oh, boy.
And then, the Sixers' ownership before? His ownership?
Oh, yeah.
It's a mess. So. And then Philly still?
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
We've been there, done that.
Yep.
Thank God, you know. At least we have stability in GMs and stuff. Quintak is still, I like Quintak. I think he still has to make that trade, but we shall see. Do you have anything else for tonight, Joe?
No, I think we touched on everything that's happening right now. Probably should give a shout out to Tyler Skaggs. Rest in peace.
Yep.
Too young.
Very too young. 27 years old. And
27 years old, man.
His wife. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if he had any kids, but thoughts and prayers to his family. May he rest in peace. And he just pitched on Saturday, too. That's
wild, man. Just wild.
I know. I wonder what happened, but I guess we'll get the details in the next few days. But let's wrap this up and do some plugs. You want to plug your Twitter?
Truth Happens 316. Mainly just troll flyers and that sort of thing. So.
Total Penguin fans.
Ugh. Gross.
You can follow me at Biggie Jacinto and follow the podcast at Philly SP podcast. And thank you for all the followers that have followed so far. We have over 230 followers right now. Thank you very much, Joe, for coming on tonight.
And thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Maybe you can come on next week. We can talk about that later. You have a good night.
You too, Eric. See you, buddy.
Yep. Thank you. Bye, bye.
Bye.